We have been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, and today we are coming to the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6 and verse 17 and 18, I'll read it. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Last week we looked at the shield of faith, and we saw that the shield offers so much protection, and we saw that the scripture says above all, which meant in addition to this vital piece of armor, take up the other pieces. And it's vital to take up all the pieces of armor. And today we shall see the importance of taking up the helmet of salvation. Hope is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, hope, which holds the head above water and makes the neck stretch out and expect deliverance. You may ask, well, how do we arrive at the statement that the helmet of salvation is hope? Well, we see it in the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. I'll read it. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet speaks of the hope of salvation. And it's of great use to a Christian in many different ways, as we are going to see it. It is a satisfying source of strength to every Christian. It's a spur which quickens us to move ahead for the Lord. It's a staff or a stick to support us. It's a bridle to retain us and to stop us rushing into folly. It's a helmet to defend us. And it's no surprise that the apostle would say that it's a lively hope. It's not just an ordinary hope. The hope of salvation is a lively hope. And we, in a world where there's a lot of evil and discouraging reports that weigh upon us, and there's a lot of fearful reports that paralyze even strong people and take their energy and render them helpless. Let me read what the old writer Matthew Poole comments. He says, soldiers dare not fight without their helmet. Despair, to which the devil tempts us, makes us quit combat. Whereas hope of salvation makes us lift our heads in the midst of temptations and afflictions. We see this very clearly in the account of Caleb, when Caleb stilled the people in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, let us go at once and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome. But the men that went with him said, we are not able. We are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than us. What made Caleb strong? It was the hope in the Lord. He had hope in the Lord for salvation. For the scripture says in Isaiah 59 and verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. When we have hope, it's connected to zeal. We have zeal. Now, when we think of the armor, when we think of all the different pieces of armor, and it would do us well to just think and reflect upon, what does that piece protect me from? What am I protected from? What is that piece protecting me from? The protection associated with each of the pieces of armor, it will make us more aware of the fact that we are in a battle, that we have attacks from many different sides. We are reminded of the intensity of the battle. And the good soldier doesn't relax, doesn't find ease in the world, nor does the good soldier make friends with the world. That would be enmity against God. We know in James 4:4 it says clearly, therefore, whoever desires to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We are good soldiers, and we heed the encouragement that is in Scripture. And the encouragement is simply to stand firm. Having done all, stand. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Ephesians 6:13. The soldier who stands is not giving up any ground. And that soldier is said to be an overcoming soldier. But the soldier who does not stand and gives up ground is said to be a soldier that is not having the victory. The helmet of salvation is the hope of the gospel that causes us to stand. As Caleb stood, a definition of hope, it's a supernatural grace of God whereby the believer through Christ expects and waits for the good things that God has promised, which he has not fully received, or which he does not see. Now, this hope that the true believer has, it's a jewel, it's a gift from God, as valuable as a jewel, as valuable as a precious diamond, and only Christ's bride can wear this hope. A hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. That's Romans 5:5, the love of God shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. We shall not be ashamed. True hope in the believer's heart will never disappoint and never fail. While those that are not in Christ, those that are not in Jesus Christ, you could say they are Christless, therefore they are hopeless. They have no hope and they have no future because they have not Christ. Ephesians 2:12 tells us this very clearly, that at that time they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Without God in this world, we have no hope. Now, this rich gift of hope, the helmet of hope or the helmet of salvation, it grows and abounds. Romans 15 and verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. It is God's will for us to abound and overflow in hope. and have an abundance of hope, so much that there's hope left over. Why can we expect this hope to be so abundant? Well, it's really simple, because we serve and are looking to a God of abundant hope. God is limitless. God is above. God is the source of our hope. That's why we can expect such great hope. Now, His mercies are higher than the heavens, and His promises are settled forever in heaven. His promises are unshakable, and they are unchangeable. They are reliable. God is the author of hope. God is the God of all grace. God's word is our hope. God's eternal promises are our hope. When it gets difficult, when our soul faints, when we just don't know which way to turn, very similar to David in Psalm 119 and verse 81, David said, "My soul faints. My soul faints. It faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. I know your word is reliable. I know your word changes not." Now, why is the hope of salvation compared to a helmet? The helmet protects the head, and protects the head from swords and spears. But I was interested in this, and I looked up on internet, are helmets bulletproof? Can you get a bulletproof helmet? And I found out, yes, you can get a bulletproof helmet that can even stop a high-powered rifle. So that is man's helmet, but this supernatural helmet that God gives us offers more protection than even the best helmet that man can provide. And in the same way, the helmet of salvation, or the helmet of hope, it guards the principal part of man. It can be applied spiritually. You see, where our head is, there our eyes are, our ears are, and our mouth is. And the helmet offers protection for the eyes, what they see. Offers protection for the ears, what they hear. And the mouth for what it speaks, and the whole mind. The helmet offers protection for the mind. Paul is addressing Christians here, and he's addressing those that are already saved. And nothing protects the mind of Christians more than a correct perspective, a hope of heaven, a hope of salvation. Another way of saying it is, if we have an eternal perspective throughout life's journey, we will realize we are going to stand before the Lord. We realize that this is not our home. We are traveling through. We have an eternal home. We have an eternal perspective, a correct perspective, and an anticipation of heaven offers much protection to us. When the helmet is firmly in place, the Christian is strong. They are expectant. They are satisfied. There is no discontentment. There's only a lively hope, a lively hope. The helmet protects our head from being wounded, but it also protects our heart from fainting. How often a bad report comes and we faint and we cannot have strength to fight, but the helmet protects our heart from fainting. It makes us bold in battle. Think of Goliath. Goliath had a bronze helmet on his head. He was so overconfident. He came out shouting. He came out defying the armies of the living God. But he paid the price. You cannot defy the Lord and not pay the price. He paid the price for his folly. The child of God will never, never be put to shame for boasting in the helmet of salvation, for boasting in the strength of his Lord. No, we are entitled to boast in our Lord. We don't boast in our own strength. Holy boasting is not pride. And we have confidence in the helmet of salvation. We have hope in the Lord. The child of God will never, ever be put to shame for boasting in the helmet of salvation. Even when there's a host against us, even when there's armies against us, our hearts shall not fear. Psalm 27 and verse 3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. You see, when we have the helmet of salvation on, our hearts are strengthened, and we are strong, and we are bold, and we are zealous. Hope lifts our heads above the surrounding enemies. But there are two things which make our head hang down. And those two things are fear. Fear makes our head hang down. And shame. Shame makes our heads hang down. But hope is the answer for both of these two things. The helmet of salvation is not only to be worn when there's very bad attacks. And then when the attack is over, we take it off, we put it down, we put our feet up and we relax. No, we should never lay hope aside. Well, there's one day that we can lay our helmet of salvation aside, and that is when we reach heaven and we take off our helmet of salvation and we put on the crown that the Lord will give us. But until that day, keep the helmet on. Until that day, don't take it off. The helmet is for continual use. And the apostle's advice to us is clear. Be sober and hope until the end. We keep hope until the end. Until we enter the gates of glory. But as for now, we are soldiers of the cross that live in a fallen world. And we have much to do. And we have much warfare to fight. The Christian who has firmly on his head the helmet of salvation is ready for high and noble exploits. They are a people that do know their God, and they are strong and they do mighty exploits. Daniel 11:32. Where there is a hope of salvation, there is steadfastness. You find that a Christian that's got his helmet on, he's steadfast, he's active, he's zealous for the Lord. The higher the hope, the more the heart longs to and is zealous for the things of God. Another thing that the hope of salvation does, or the helmet of salvation, it makes us willing not only for high and noble works, but it makes us faithful to do the lowest job. It makes us faithful to do those things which no one takes notice of. We need never be ashamed if the Lord gives to us a lower task to do. We have to understand that His promises are applicable to all men. Promises are like the sun that shines through the window, and they bring warmth and they bring hope. The warm rays shine through the window of a poor man's house, And the same warm rays shine through the window of a castle of a king. It doesn't matter who you are, rich or poor, high or low, the promises warm all of our hearts. And this hope inspires us to do our work, whatever that work may be, whatever we are called to do, whether high or whether low, whatever you do, the scripture says, whatever you do, do it as to the Lord, not unto man, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive your reward. That's Colossians 3 and 23. Another wonderful benefit of wearing the helmet of salvation, the helmet supports the soul of man in great afflictions. We all carry heavy burdens. Some of us carry heavy crosses. But the good thing is that hope, I read this in one of the old Puritan books, hope lays a pillow on the shoulder and helps us carry the burden patiently. Hope will help us to carry any burden patiently. But without hope, even the smallest burden will be too heavy for us to carry. The apostle remembers the Thessalonians in prayer. He remembers their work of faith. He remembers their labor of love. He remembers their patience of hope. He prays and he says, you have hope. You have labor of love. And because they have these things, Paul says, because I see these things, I know, beloved, that you are the elect of God. And when a believer is seen full of hope, we can be sure they are the chosen of the Lord, the elect of the Lord. But right now we are considering the patience of hope. We are now considering it. It's a sober grace, and it abides as long as hope lasts. When there's a lively hope, when we are filled with a lively hope, or when we've got the helmet firmly on our head, the helmet of hope, we float. We dance on the waters of affliction. We're like a ship that is on a stormy sea. It floats. No matter how bad the waves are, that ship floats. Unless the hope springs a leak, then the ship goes down. But when a believer is firm in hope, even when it's a bad situation, there's peace deep down in their heart. There's a knowing, there's a stillness that comes to the heart. And we say, like David said, why, my soul, are you so downcast in me? Why are you disquieted? Hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. When we hope in the Lord, all those fears go. Hope fills our souls with an inward joy. It fills us with a consolation. It fills our heart with a song in the midnight hour. This is called rejoicing in hope. We are to rejoice in hope. Hebrews 3 and verse 6. Faith and hope are twin graces. Faith is what tells the soul what God has promised. And faith tells us what the Lord has done for us. But hope tells the soul that Christ will do what God has promised. Hope rejoices in Christ and has no confidence in the flesh. It rejoices in Christ Jesus. Let's cover one more point on the offices of hope. One of hope's offices is to keep the Christian from giving up. To keep the Christian, hope keeps the Christian expecting. Hope assures the soul that God will perform his promise, even if there's a big delay, even if it seems impossible. Even if we find ourselves in a trial, those that wear the helmet of hope are always thankful for this unspeakable gift. How can you tell if somebody's wearing the helmet? In the trial, they are thankful to the Lord. This is what the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again unto a lively hope, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. So when we have hope, it's lively and it doesn't fade. It doesn't fade away. You see, the helmet is greater. The helmet of hope is greater even than a king's crown. What an indescribable grace that God has so freely given to his children, this hope of salvation. Let me explain what I mean. Think about this. Supposing there was a king, and this king got very sick, was laying on his bed, he was in his final moments, how that king would gladly give his gold crown and exchange his crown for a helmet of hope. Without the helmet, even although he's a king, he has no hope and he has no future. He has only a fearful expectation of damnation. He's bound by chains. He's full of guilt. His conscience is trembling. He's weighed down with despair. He would gladly throw his crown off and have a hope of salvation, of rescue, of forgiveness, of pardon. And that's what God has given us. He has pardoned us. He has given us a hope of salvation. A hope and a future is what has been given unto us. Now, next, when we have the helmet firmly on our head, our walk is greatly affected, because our eyes are focused on heaven. Our eyes are heavenward. Our eyes are looking straight ahead. And our eyes direct our feet where they are to walk. And if our eyes are looking to heaven, our feet are going to follow those ways. Our conversation will be as becometh the gospel. We will walk as citizens of heaven. We will live as members of God's household. We will fulfill our Christian duties. The hope of heaven moderates our earthly behavior. Let our eyes look straight ahead. Let our eyes be focused upon Christ Jesus. If then you are raised with Christ Jesus, set your eyes on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Those that want to have this heavenly hope, we need to understand that there's nothing which blemishes heavenly hope more than a worldly and an earthly heart. I read this illustration in one of the Puritan books. All of us, I think we would consider it very wrong if a rich man, a man who owned many businesses, many houses, many cars, extremely wealthy man, not a single need in his life, everything provided for, if we saw that man enter a field that had just been harvested with the poor and suffering people that were gleaning and grabbing handfuls of wheat to sustain themselves. If we saw that rich man with the poor people grabbing as much as he could, pushing the people away, greedily taking all he could take, what would we think of such a man? We would say, no, 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 shame on him. He's so rich, and yet he has to get even more. That's wrong. That's evil. That's not good. although that is a great evil, it is nothing. It is nothing compared to the evil of a Christian who professes that he has hope in Christ Jesus, yet with both hands grabs every pleasure of the world that he can possibly grab. And that's what makes him happy. He has the riches of heaven, yet he's looking for something of this world to satisfy him. I think that he does not truly have a true hope in Christ. Surely, if he had a true hope in God's promises, she wouldn't even consider grabbing these earthly treasures, which are no treasures at all. And no, we have a higher hope. We have a hope that is heavenward, and where there are true riches and true joys, and there are pleasures at his right hand forevermore. There's nothing compared to the riches the Lord so freely bestows upon his children. Oh, the riches. We have a heavenly helmet. What material, what metal is the helmet made of? It is made of heavenly metal. It is a hope that changes not. It is a heavenly protection it gives us. Let me just show you that our hope is so secure, so firm, according to Hebrews 6 and 17, wherein God willing, so God is able to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath, with two immutable things. It is impossible for God to lie. Two immutable things: God's oath, and it is impossible for God to lie. That is in whom we believe. We believe in one who cannot lie. We believe in a one who has promised with an oath. That's why our heavenly helmet, our hope is so strong. Because God is well able. He is the God of all hope. Have you this jewel of hope? Do you know the promise of salvation? I know that all of us would long for those that don't know it to come to know it. Some are so foolish to think. They think that they can have an inheritance in God's kingdom without even a promise. Let me tell you an illustration. Supposing somebody came to me and said, "Brother, I had a dream last night, and I dreamt that you would give me your house and your land and your car and everything that you own, and I demand you give it to me now because I had a dream." We would say, "How foolish. How can you expect me to give you all that? You don't have a letter with my signature. How can you claim that?" And that is how some people claim salvation. They hope, they dream, they wonder, but they have no sure promise on which they are standing. And we have a promise, the promise of salvation, the promise. We have a better reason than just a dream. We have a solid promise. We have a lively hope that he is a God of abundant mercy. We are trusting the immutable promises, promises that do not change. That's why we have hope. The promises of salvation are available even today, even right now. Even this day, for the scripture says, "For today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. There remains a rest for God's people." Let us enter that rest. Maybe there are some that say, "Well, how? How can I enter? How do you enter God's rest?" Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins, and you shall be saved. Possibly the thought would come to some people, oh, tomorrow's another day. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next Sunday. I'll do it sometime before I die. I'll call on the Lord. But the Bible says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, lest your heart be hardened. If you reject the Lord, your heart can be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. Mercy and grace flows to us now. Mercy and grace stills our hearts now, makes the hope of salvation clear now, lets us see now that we can call upon the Lord. Let us not refuse Him. I heard a story of, there are some that say, oh well, I can live without God. I have money. I don't need God. I can live in this world without God. Yes, you possibly could. But let me tell you what you could never do. You can never die without God. For to die without God is to die without hope, to die without a future, to die without forgiveness, to die without a wedding robe, to die without a spotless robe of righteousness. And we shall hear those awful words, away with him, cast him out into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Place your faith in the hope of salvation, and you shall be saved. Amen.